The Rebel Capitalist Show, episode 210.
Welcome to the podcast that helps you build wealth and thrive in a world of out-of-control central banks and big governments. This is the Rebel Capitalist Show.
All right, guys, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to welcome someone back to the Rebel Capitalist Show. He is from the Sin City of Las Vegas, and he is a fellow car enthusiast. His name is Greg Mannarino. Greg, welcome back to the Rebel Capitalist Show, my friend.
Man, it is great to be back. Thanks for having me. I greatly appreciate it. And like I was saying pre-recording, I swear to you, I think you and I may have been separated at birth. It's the truth.
Yeah. Hey, well, let's start talking about bond yields. I mean, everybody's talking about the 10-year. I didn't look today. I'm sure you have. And I don't know if it's up, down, but it's been spiking lately. And that just has so many knock-on effects in the economy. What are you seeing and what's your take in the next 6 months, year?
Well, let's talk about that. That's great. Well, it went crazy last week. We had the 10-year yield like up and down like a yo-yo. And then Monday and Tuesday, basically flat line. I mean, nothing. Yeah. We had a market going all over the place, but a flat line 10-year yield, after all that, doesn't smell right to me. I think there's something going on here. I wouldn't be surprised if the Federal Reserve is already in here experimenting with some type of yield curve control, which is what they want to do. I mean, in my view, they want more control. They've been floating this idea out for a very, very long time. So why not take, let's say, the benchmark or the 10-year yield and play with it a little bit. Let's see how if they can keep it stable. And they seem to have done that. Now, today it is a little bit higher. Where's the danger zone? It looks like it's somewhere around 1.51 or somewhere. The market did not like that. We also, obviously, as you know, need to keep our eye on the dollar. Crude oil is a player here. With regard to where the 10-year yield is going, well, I believe sincerely they want to keep it suppressed. They want to control the entire yield curve. They don't just want to target a part of it. They want full control. And now we're hearing about a new version of Operation Twist.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, Greg. Yeah, you want to
do it. Of course they are. In my view, they want control. What a better way to manage the debt market, which is the biggest freak show in the world. Actually, I'm not even going to curse because I call it a new thing, an S-H-I-T show. It really is. It's a freaking shit show of epic proportions, and they're rigging the debt market to the highest order. Look, what has it done? It's inflated a massive stock market bubble. In my view, a massive real estate bubble has caused distortions across the spectrum of asset classes. There's no real price discovery mechanism behind a damn thing because we don't have a free market. We have a Fed who's in here that's gone completely insane or sane. I mean, what are they doing? They're trying to fulfill their end game. Their end game is very simple. They want to buy it all. They want to own the world. So that's what they're doing in my view. And yes, indeed, they will institute at one point, maybe they're already starting or experimenting with it, some type of yield curve control and a new version of Operation Twist, which is just buying long-term bonds and selling short-term bonds to just rig the debt market even further. Before I finish, I think, look, they're not done. They're not done inflating asset bubbles. They want this as distorted as they possibly can make it. And then all of a sudden, when most people are not ready for it, at a time of their own choosing, they're going to turn this all around. So risk on, clearly we're in a risk on environment with regard to equities, is going to turn risk off. And we're going to see a massive shift in where cash is being allocated in this market across the spectrum of asset classes. And look, what does it mean for people like you, people like me, people that are watching this lovely show? It's opportunity. You know, it's all opportunity. Every day I get up and say, okay, where are the opportunities, Greg? And that's it. And that's what I think you and me are all about. We're trying to tell people, hey, look, this is what's going on. This is what you can do about it. Yeah. That's it.
Where do you think the S&P would be if the Fed just woke up tomorrow and said, you know what? No more QE. We're done.
Oh, I wish I was smart enough to know that,
because we're just going to go for price discovery.
Well, we would see this market fall thousands of points in the blink of an eye. Yeah. Where would the Dow be? Let me put a perspective on that. Let's talk about the Dow. Okay, because we could talk about the S&P. I don't care, either one. At Dow 6,000, what did the Fed do? They got in here and they started buying it all. We don't even know where the bottom is of this market. Where's the true bottom? All they've done is massively inflate a stock market bubble. If in fact the Federal Reserve were to say, well, let's let a real price discovery mechanism take hold here, the market would grossly overreact to the downside. The market is an overreaction mechanism. This is how people like you, people like me, take advantage of the market. We know it's going to overreact either to the upside or overreact to the downside. The momentum that would build behind, let's say, for example, the Fed were to say, hey, let's let the market be a free market. Wow, what a concept. The market would crater. It would crater. It would go way lower than I think anyone can possibly imagine. And maybe we would even break through Dow 6,000. I know people are probably flipping out right now, but we don't know where the bottom is. There is no bottom at this particular time. We know that the Fed established a floor, or at least tried to, at 6,000. But with enough momentum here, if the Fed really said, we're done, who knows where we could go? You know, these companies, they do have value, but, you know, these companies, obviously, that people are investing in regarding the market, Dow, S&P, you know, but who knows what their real value is, because all we have is a distorted environment. I mean, it's crazy. I don't got to tell you. I probably don't have to tell your listeners because they got it. You know, you're keeping them on top of what's going on here. But no one, I think, is actually smart enough to know a few things. Number one, what would the debt market be doing right now if the Fed weren't fully controlling it? We don't have a free market. We have a rigged market. So we don't know the real valuations of anything right now. All I'm doing is taking advantage of this market because it's rigged. And the rigging of the market and realizing that it's rigged is our strength. And that's how we can capitalize on it. That's really my take.
So when you use that 6,000 number, is that what it got to during the GFC? Is that why you're referencing it?
Yeah, when the market melted that down in 2008, I remember the exact month, we hit Dow 6,000. Dow 6,000, the Dow went from 12,500, whatever it was, down to 6,000, and that was, they would not let it fall anymore. The Fed got in here and started, you know, capital injections, buying assets, you know. And that's how they established the floor at 6,000. But we don't know where the bottom is. It's a bottomless pit. It really actually could be nearly bottomless, because if enough momentum got going here, we could clearly break through that. But that would be, in my view, a massive buying opportunity. If this market, let's say the Dow were to go to 6,000 or below, I can tell you I would buy it all. I would buy everything I possibly could, because I think that would be a screaming buying opportunity, because the market would grossly overreact. That's what it does. That's what we take advantage of. Fear and greed, the two factors that run this market. Fear is stronger. So people would be running to the door all at the same time. And then when people couldn't get anyone to buy what they're selling, they're going to keep lowering the price, lowering the price, lowering the price, lowering the price until someone buys it. And we've seen this before. This is how it will eventually play out. But again, I think people are looking at the wrong spot when they're saying, okay, Greg, I get this all the time. When's the market going to crash? You know, I'm watching the Dow. No, no, no. You're looking in the wrong spot. You got to focus on the debt market. The debt market is where all the action is going to begin, in my view. It's a hyperbubble. It's a super hyperbubble. It's going to blow up at one point. Rates are going to spike regardless of what the Fed is going to try to do here. I think they're going to unleash the Kraken at one point, you're going to see a massive sell-off there in the debt market. What will that do? Well, it's quite simple to realize. That's going to put a lot of pressure on the stock market. Cash does not go to money heaven. It's going to go into other assets, and it's going to make a lot of people extremely wealthy if they're in the right spots.
Yeah. So on that note, how high do you think interest rates could go on the 10-year before it really starts to affect the market or the economy?
Well, the economy, we have no economy. We're in free fall. What did we get yesterday? CNBC. The economy is on fire.
Yeah, I actually wanted to talk to you about
that. It's on fire. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know if you caught what I said. I said, oh, it's on fire, all right. It's burning down. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. You can't make up the data that they're trying to fist feed us all. It's all fake. It's all propaganda. It doesn't make any sense. All people got to do is look around. Oh, do we look like we're booming? Oh, 10% GDP? We're negative. They know that. They can't let people know that. With regard to the 10-year yield, I mean, we can just look at recent events. This market did not like that 10-year yield above 1.5. It depends on the dollar. It depends on what the dollar is doing. I obviously follow the market every day, pretty much around the clock, but I don't look at the market indices first. I look at the 10-year yield, number one. That's number one. Number two, what's the dollar doing? What is the dollar doing? There, and you know this, and I think most people who follow the market do, you know, you got to watch for that compensatory mechanism that exists between the dollar and the 10-year yield. It's they play on each other. So when we witnessed this market taking a hit, we fell 1,000 points in 2 days. What was going on? We had the 10-year yield above 1.5. We had the dollar stronger. I told people, watch for this. Watch for this to happen and see how the stock market reacts. It did exactly what I said it would do. And I think it will do that again if they lose control. The Fed isn't losing control of anything. They're trying to get the market to react in a certain way. They're laying out the groundwork for yield curve control, and they're going to implement it. Are they going to allow the 10-year yield to spike yet again, putting pressure on the market? I think they probably will. Why? Because they want more control. You watch CNBC, you watch Fox Business, you watch Bloomberg. They're saying, oh, the Fed is losing control of the bond market. Duh. No, they're not losing control of anything. They're losing control because they want to gain control via yield curve control. They've been floating this story out for the longest time. They're going to do it. It's just a matter of when. And I really do believe they're playing with it now. They're experimenting, trying to see how the market's going to react. And it reacted very well. I mean, yesterday we put on a nice gain. The 10-year yield didn't move. It was like frozen in time. I'm sitting there watching the 10-year yield going yesterday and Monday going, oh, no. Oh, no. There's something very wrong here. Look what they're doing. And today it did go up. It came down a little bit, but we'll see how this plays out. I think the danger zone for the 10-year yield is probably over 1.5, depending on the dollar. If, for example, I saw the 10-year yield at 1.5 and we had a markedly weaker dollar, I would think the market might.
Greg, can you explain why that matters, that relationship between the 10-year and the dollar?
Well, of course, absolutely. Well, the 10-year yield, what is this whole thing? These are units of debt, okay? Dollars, it's also units of debt. The dollar strength has a lot to do with how the market is going to react. The market wants to see a weaker dollar. Doesn't want a stronger dollar. Stronger dollar is great for the consumer, like people that want to go out and buy things. But for the market, no. The market wants that dollar weaker. So I think the market would tolerate a higher 10-year yield. And again, I think there's a limit here, but a higher 10-year yield, depending on what the dollar is doing. If we get, again, a 10-year yield rising and we get a dollar rising along with it, that is just, this got ugly written all over it. So we're going to see. Again, you know what I want people to understand? Generally, when you have a 10-year yield that is rising, people don't understand the paradox there. That means cash is leaving the debt market. It's looking for somewhere to go, and generally it will go into equities. But there's also this mechanism of how suppressed rates, suppressed yields now for what, over an entire decade, have manifested itself in a monster stock market bubble. So there's almost like a balancing act. It's like a high wire trick that they're trying to pull off, and it's worked. It's obviously worked here. So depending on how they play it, I believe, let me just go on a little further. I know I'm going crazy with this, but I believe this is going to happen. The Federal Reserve is going to issue some kind of yield curve control. Once that occurs, I also believe we're going to see a multiple expansion in the market, meaning that investors, now that they realize the Federal Reserve is involved in controlling the yield curve, are going to be willing to pay more for a company's stock. So you're going to see the market go up markedly. That's my take on it. That's kind of where I'm putting my mind around, because I'm putting my money to work in this market. So that's really what I think people need to understand. It's all rigged. It's all fake. And it's going to continue this way until it doesn't. So when people ask you, when people ask me, hey, Greg, you know, when's it going to crash? I really frankly don't care. All I want to be is on the right side of it. And I want the people that follow my work to be on the right side of it. And the people that follow your work to be on the right side of it. That's what we're trying to do. Enlighten people. This is what's going on. And this is what you should be doing to protect yourself or even capitalize on it. Make the system work for you, not against you.
Yeah, talking about capitalizing on that, when you're saying the market realizes the Fed has done yield curve control and how that could increase equity prices, we could see like a melt up, if you will. You know, when you're saying that, I was thinking about gold, because the story with gold is that it's gone down because the market sees a potential for positive real rates. But if the market realizes the Fed's doing yield curve control and that inflation expectations are high, then they could switch on a dime from thinking, okay, we're going to get positive real rates, to all of a sudden now we're definitely going to stay with negative real rates for a long, long time. So what does that do to gold? Do you have any ideas on that?
Absolutely. I'll tell you what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping they continue to rig the price lower for as long as they possibly can. I don't care what they do to the derivative. We know the derivative market is rigged to the highest order. We even know who's doing it. We know it's JP Morgan. They're rigging the market. Everyone knows it. They just paid, what, a $9 billion fine for rigging the metals market? I mean, you can't make this stuff up if you even tried to do it. But they are deliberately in here suppressing the price of precious metals. And I say, good, let them continue to do it. I don't care. Look, with regard to precious metals, with regard to even cryptocurrencies, and you probably know I'm a huge cryptocurrency advocate, okay? I don't care. I do not care what happens to these things in the short run right now at all. My calls on Bitcoin have been beyond stellar. They've been absolutely spot on. I own Bitcoin. Everybody knows that. I own most of the big cryptocurrencies. I have no intention on selling any of them. With regard to precious metals, in a real environment, you would expect, of course, they would be skyrocketing. They're so massively undervalued based upon just debt expansion. It's out of control. But this mechanism will remain in place as well. So I don't even look at it. I'm going to be honest with you. When I own gold, physical gold, silver, platinum, and I own palladium. I own all the metals. And I don't care. I don't even think about what they're doing. I just understand why I am holding these things, because we are in an environment of massive debt expansion. I mean, just look at the Fed's balance sheet over the last year. It doubled in the year. It's an incredible thing to see. And it's not just the Federal Reserve. It's central banks around the world. They are ballooning their balance sheets by design. So we want to be on the opposite side of that trade.
Right.
In my view, it's the easiest thing to do is to hold hard assets and pray that they're going to continue to play their game, suppressing, and we're going to play our game by acquiring more of it, because the game is simple. Debt expansion, debt acquisition, the Fed's buying it all.
This podcast is brought to you by Rebel Capitalist Pro, the best online investing research. I have teamed up with Chris McIntosh and Lynn Alden, two of the best in the business, to create Rebel Capitalist Pro and give you the tools you need to build wealth and thrive in this crazy world of economic insanity. Rebel Capitalist Pro is jam-packed with Chris and Lynn's incredible research. We have live stream Q&As where you can ask your questions directly to Chris, Lynn, and myself. And the best of all, there's an online member forum which allows you to network, learn, and explore ideas with like-minded individuals. What are you waiting for? Check out Rebel Capitalist Pro right now at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. Take action today and do something your future self will thank you for.
Yeah, and what's unique about the United States is not only the expansion of the Fed's balance sheet, but the expansion of M2 money supply. I mean, that's, you know, talking about gold, I mean, that's just gone straight through the roof. And I don't see any end in sight, especially if we're sending out stimulus checks and doing all these things. You know, talking about the melt up, because I think so many people are trying to ask that question. Okay, is the market going to crash? We all know it's inflated. We all know it's a bubble. We all know it's overvalued. Is the market going to crash or is it going to go up another, you know, are we in 2000 or are we in 1998 type question? And one thing I was thinking through the other day that I'd like to get your thoughts on is, and I don't know if you saw this in the news, but Janet Yellen came out and said that she's going to spend down the TGA, the Treasury General account, by $1 trillion over the next, call it 4 months. So what this means is the Fed currently is doing $120 billion of QE per month. And this is one
at least.
At least. And Janet Yellen, by taking those bank reserves from the TGA and pushing them into the commercial banking system, she's going to effectively be doing another $250 billion. So for the next 4 months, we're going to see $370 billion worth of QE or additional bank reserves in the commercial banking system per month. And so then you got to ask yourself, what on earth does that do to the stock market if $85 billion in QE3 took it to these insane levels and $120 billion has taken it from where we were March 2020 to where we are now? I mean, what does an extra $250 billion per month do?
Well, let me tell you what that sounds like to me. This sounds like capital injections directly into the system. And what did it do last time? It pushed up the market. I mean, come on. So it's going to have the same effect as it did last time. This is such a game. And I am so happy that there are people like you who understand this. And I'm sure your followers understand it as well. The way you explain things is amazing. I've followed your work. And like I told you pre-interview here, you're really on point. And to hear someone say the things that you do in your work and even right now, it's astonishing to me because most people have no clue. When I hear this stuff, I'm like, thank you, God. There is someone else out here that gets it, but it's the truth. So we're going to have, another epic capital injections directly into the banking system. What is that going to do? It's a no-brainer, people. Is this going to melt down? Absolutely. But who really cares when? All we need to do is get on the right side of it. That's all it means. And then when this comes down, whenever that time may be, don't sweat about it. Don't even waste a brain cell to think about when that might happen. Just get yourself on the right spots now for what's going to come down the pike. We know this. It's unbelievable what is happening. But I don't waste a single second of my day, this is the truth, thinking about when the bubble is going to burst or even how big the bubble is going to get. I just know it's going to get larger. And this is why I've been urging people forever to bet against the debt that is becoming your own central bank, holding hard assets, telling people to buy Bitcoin at $2,700. It's $51,000 right now. It's just so simple if you can put all these things together to know what you should be doing. And again, just don't worry about, is it going to, the bubble going to burst tomorrow or is it going to burst next week? Just realize what they're doing. They're going to deliberately hyperinflate this even more. So get on the right side of it, make it work for yourself. And that's it. That's really my take on it.
It's like a long-term macro view. So when you talk about hard assets, do you include commodities and real estate in that, or is it more specifically precious metals?
Well, I think, I think with regard to commodities, we're going to end up seeing a lot, when this thing does correct, when the market crashes, corrects, however you want to call it, we're going to see cash not go into money heaven, but it is going to go into commodities. With regard to real estate, I would not be surprised to see real estate, even though I think right now in our current environment, it keeps inflating, and there's going to be a moment here where it's going to be very difficult for people to acquire it. I mean, how I gauge a bubble, let's say in real estate, people say, well, Greg, how do you know real estate isn't a bubble? Why do you feel that way? This is how I gauge it. And maybe my perspective is wrong, but this is what it is. When any asset, let's say real estate, moves above the ability for an average person to afford it, it now becomes a bubble. And it's only available to the rich or the super rich. So that's how I gauge it. I've always looked at assets that way. What is the average guy or the average girl earning per year? Now, what is their ability to acquire an average home? Has it moved above their ability to acquire it? Well, if it has, then I say to myself, ding, 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 we have a bubble here. So that's how I look at it. But I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised. I don't really know, and I'm going to be honest with you, how I think real estate is going to react in this at that particular time. It may blow up. It may go down. I don't know. I'd love to hear your take on it because I know you're a real estate guy. I'm really not a real estate guy. I'm a market guy. So, I mean, I have friends of mine that are real estate guys, and I can tell you what their perspective is. A couple of friends of mine are heavily invested in real estate, and they believe it's going much, much higher. That's their take. So there are, I personally know people who are actually buying homes right now. And do I think it's a great idea? Again, from my perspective, it's a bubble because it's becoming out of reach of the average person. But look, like I said, I admit freely, I really don't understand the real estate market as well as I do the equity market or derivatives. I'm an equity market derivative guy, but please enlighten me. What's your take?
Well, I think I've got the same view on real estate that you have on pretty much everything else, just this long-term macro view. And I start by asking myself the question, is it cheap or is it expensive? And if it's cheap, I want to buy it. If it's expensive, I want to sell it. Yeah. So right now there's, to your point, there's absolutely nothing about the real estate market that is cheap. Now that's what's interesting about the question though, Greg, especially when you look at your worldview, and I would echo a lot of those thoughts as far as being bearish on the dollar over the next 5-10 years, you know, who knows what's it going to do in the next year or so, but the next 5 or 10 years being bearish on the dollar. What's interesting is trying to secure a property that has positive cash flow because rates are so low with a 30-year fixed rate mortgage. Because if you're doing that, then that's kind of a way to short the dollar. But I would argue that property, because we're in such a hall of mirrors type of economy with the Fed and everything that you mentioned, no price discovery and money being basically worthless, I think the balance sheet has completely switched from where it naturally should be. And what I mean by that is back in, like, let's call it quote unquote normal times in the housing market, back in the 1990s, let's say, the property was the asset on your balance sheet and the debt was the liability. But I think now it's reversed to where the property is actually the liability because the prices are so sky high, but the debt is actually the asset because you'll probably increase your purchasing power substantially by paying the loan back over the next 30 years with devalued dollars. Yeah. So it's kind of a, and now I'm not suggesting anyone go out there and buy real estate, but what I am suggesting, if you do own a house, whether it's a rental property or your own home and you've got debt on it, just make sure that it's a 30-year fixed rate
mortgage. You're
going to benefit from what Greg and I are talking about.
100%. Yeah, I think that perspective is pretty much spot on, what you just said. And I've contemplated this. You know, I do own real estate myself. Would I be in the market right now to buy more? No. That's just how I am right now. But again, I am really immersed in the market, in the derivative market, and that's really where my head is at. And you know, I'm getting kind of old, so you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And me, and I'm certain that there is opportunities in lots of other things. But to me, look, I always say the easiest thing you can do is just be good at one thing in life, just one thing, whether it's, I don't know, real estate, whether it's the market or something else. And that's all you need to do. Have an understanding of it and learn how to make it work for you. You don't have to go crazy and worry about 10,000 different things. That's why, for example, there are people that are in, let's say, the equity market. And then there are people who are in real estate and there are people who are in this, that, and the other thing. You don't have to be in everything, okay? But it's impossible to do. So just understand where you're at, make up your own mind, do your own research. That's something else I tell everyone that follows my work. Of course, listen to what people like you and I are saying, but then try to use what you've learned, let's say, go out there, research it for yourself. And does it make sense for you? Is it real to you, what we're saying? If it's something you understand and say, hey, I connect with this, maybe I should look a little further into this. That's what I say. You know, I even tell people don't even listen to anything I say sometimes. Like, I want people to use their own mind, their own intellect, engage their brain.
Critical thinking.
It's critical thinking. Shut off the mainstream news and, you know, follow shows like this and you're going to get the truth. You're going to get real truth. People that I think are experts in their field, understanding what's really going on here, not the paid shills that are reading a script. I believe this, what I'm going to tell you. You watch CNBC. You watch Fox Business or any of them. They go out into the street. They find some hobo, okay? They say, hey, how would you like some new clothes and a shower and maybe a meal? We're going to dress you up real nice. We're going to prop you up, and you're going to read this script. What do you think? Can you do it? I really believe they do that. It's all a distraction mechanism. I really do. I'm telling you the truth. They don't want people on there. Imagine you or me, for example, on a mainstream financial show. They wouldn't know what to do. They would start crying. Or they would probably try to discredit us. They were like, oh, no, no, you don't know what you're talking about because this is the CEO from XYZ and he said this and this is the other idiot over here. No, no, no. They would do what they can to discredit people like you and me because they can't disperse the truth. They can't allow people to really know what's going on. And that disturbs me to a very, very high degree. It's a mind control.
One thing I have to ask you about, I had it here written down just to make sure that I didn't forget, talking about someone that they actually do invite on CNBC. I just read in the news yesterday that Dave Portnoy is coming out with a new ETF called Buzz. Did you know who Dave Portnoy is?
Not really, not familiar with the guy.
Okay, so he's that guy that owns Barstool Sports, and he made a lot of news back in.
That makes sense, Buzz.
he's like a sports gambler, and he started his own YouTube channel or Twitter, Instagram, something like that, where he was just betting on stocks going up, and he's just the stereotypical kind of. He's not an investor; he's just a gambler, and he's just very famous for doing so. And he's kind of a loud mouth type of guy, and he's coming out with his new ETF. So the philosophy or investment, I don't even want to call it investment. I guess the idea, the story behind the ETF is that it's going to mine social media sites like Reddit, where they're talking about GameStop and all these things, and it's going to buy things exclusively based on what is being talked about in social media. So completely absent the fundamentals. Yeah. They don't care about earnings. They don't care about the underlying business. They don't care about the balance sheet. They don't care about the P&L. They don't care about management. Absolutely nothing. And when I saw that, I thought, wow, this might signal just peak market insanity to where now the stock has literally, the stock has no relationship whatsoever to the underlying company. It's just a matter of people going out and placing bets on what piece of paper they think is going to get the most emotional buying over the next 3 or 4 days. And I think that just kind of personifies all the madness that we're seeing in the market today.
I can totally understand that. It's kind of like Enron trading weather. People don't realize that there was a point where the company Enron was trading weather. It's actually the truth. If you look into the history of Enron, what they were doing, what they were trying to do, one of the things they were doing was trading weather. It's bizarre. But look, with regard to this market and maximum insanity, we are there now. And in some ways, I can understand that the perspective of an ETF like that to go out there and mine social media, because there is no connection to reality whatsoever. Right. Fundamentals don't matter. Valuations don't matter. Earnings don't matter. It's all about the Federal Reserve right here supporting the market, rigging the market. It's not real. Nothing is real. The entire environment we are in, it's just not real. And I tell people, trade the fakery. You realize it's fake? It does. Oh, but Greg, you're telling me to buy this company or recommending this and that they're so overvalued. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter anymore. Everything is overvalued. Find me one asset today that really has a fair market price. I don't think there is any price discovery mechanism. And a lot of this stuff is just being driven crazy because people understand the environment they're in and they're trying at least to take advantage of it. And I say bravo to them.
What are your thoughts on GameStop and what happened with that?
I think that was such a freaking shit show as well. No, it really was. I got so angry about that. You know, look, I didn't trade it. I don't do that. People say, hey, Greg, you're getting in on this. No, absolutely not. I am like, I don't know. I'm like a very steady player in this market. It takes a lot to make me deviate from my own strategy, and because it works for me. It may not work for somebody else, but what I've been doing it a long time, and it works. So I don't like to get involved in these speculative, highly speculative assets at that moment. You know, so, but what they pulled off there was a crime. It was a crime that they were allowing the big money players to get in here and sell assets where they weren't allowed people to pull their profit. It was an amazing thing to watch. And it was heartbreaking to me. But again, why would we be surprised that the big money is being allowed to win? It's always the same story. And I hate to see, you know, look, a lot of people wrote to me. I know hundreds of people that got hurt in that. They're like, oh, wow, you know, I wish I wouldn't have done this. And look, I had a profit. I couldn't pull it, blah, blah, blah. And it really bothers me to hear that. And I just say, look, you took a shot and you lost. Okay, maybe you learned a lesson here. Whenever I lose, look, I lose money in this market too. We all, every trader, I don't care how good you are or how good you may think you are, there's no way you are not going to suffer losses, maybe even a series of losses. But as long as you're staying on the right side, it's a bigger picture thing, then you're going to be all right. But understanding that it's part of the game. So when I have a losing trade, I say to myself, okay, Greg, what did you do wrong? Reevaluate the whole. So even though I lost money on XYZ, I try to make it a learning experience that you'd have to pay to learn something anyway. So I hopefully won't repeat the mistake. Although I do many, many times, you know, if I find a mistake, sometimes the main thing is to keep emotion out of this market. People right. that got involved in that whole hype over there, a lot of them, they were letting, you know, the fear of missing out, right. FOMO take over them. Oh, I got to get in here. I got to do this now. There's going to be a squeeze and there's going to be a silver squeeze and whatever it might be. Don't trade like that. You know, could you get lucky and make a lot of money? Absolutely, you could. You could also lose a lot of money. And I think it's the steady players in this market who survive. Yeah. If you get in here and you start speculating wildly on anything, you're going to run out of cash. The market will stay solvent and you will go broke. You will become insolvent. So just do like Greg does and just be steady. You know, don't go crazy with overly risky assets. Look at me, for example, with regard to trading, I trade exclusively large cap stocks. Anyone that looks at my stuff is large cap, large cap, large cap. And I've actually recently adopted a whole new philosophy. I started using it just at the beginning of this year. Maybe it's because I'm getting old too, but I started instead of buying options, I've been selling them. I've been selling options onto the market. I've been using credit spreads. I own several large cap companies which pay dividends. So, and I trade around them. Mm. And I mean, you know, it's like trading for nothing. You get, you know, you make money off of it and just stay on the right side of the market until you can't play the game. Once I see the market roll, what will I do? I'll close all my core positions, which are my large cap dividend stock paying stocks. And I will just start shorting the market, or I'll start selling calls. You know, there's always ways to play this market. So, but again, that comes out, you got to understand how to do it and you got to be a steady player. Don't get involved in the hype because you're going to get burned more than likely.
Greg, I think that's fantastic advice. And I know we're coming up on a hard deadline, so we'll go ahead and leave it there. For my viewers who want to find out more about what you do, where can they go?
Go right to my lovely website, traderschoice.net, all kinds of free stuff for them. I set up everything for people. I mean, I got stock screeners there that I personally set up for them. They tell you buy and sell. I got a cryptocurrency screener over there. I got everything you want is on my website. And it's all free. So take advantage of it, people. I hope you do. And thanks for having me, really.
Oh, thanks for being here, Greg. And like always, awesome conversation. I can't wait to do it again.
Absolutely. Let's do it again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Rebel Capitalist Show. For more content like this, check out the Rebel Capitalist blog at georgegammon.com or go to the George Gammon YouTube channel.